Hi, and welcome back to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and it is my absolute pleasure to welcome the incredible Tiwa onto the podcast today. Tiwa is a globally recognized and qualified life coach, international speaker, positive psychology specialist, master neuro-linguistic practitioner, and founder of Confident and Killing It. Through her work, Tiwa aims to fight the generation cycle of low self-esteem amongst women and girls, and I can't wait to pick her brain. I've talked a little bit recently about going on my own personal journey of increasing my own self-esteem and understanding myself a little bit better. So this is going to be so useful for me as well. In this episode, we discuss how to harness the power of you, because you are the only version of yourself. And you're in your body. This is one thing she said that I absolutely loved, is that you are in your body on your own. You two are together for the rest of your life. So it's how to use that in the right way. How social media has created a community of empowerment, and how she uses positive messages to help when her imposter syndrome might creep in. And her tips for increasing your own confidence and knowing your self-worth. This episode is absolutely incredible. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy this really empowering episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. Tiwa, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm really, really excited about having you on I Shouldn't Say This But.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm really excited.
I think we're going to get some really juicy stuff out of this episode. I can feel it already.
Oh, gosh.
So before we came to the podcast, before you came to the podcast, we asked you to come armed with an admission submission of your own. And this podcast is called I Shouldn't Say This But, because in every episode, I try and open up with honesty and talk about subjects that perhaps someone in my role as MD would usually avoid. So I've talked about things like stuff you're very familiar with, things like anxiety, imposter syndrome, fear of failure. So would you mind sharing with us your admission of something that you probably shouldn't say, whether that's struggles that you've faced during your career, a secret about lockdown, or something you're trying to overcome? So Tiwa, I shouldn't say this, but.
I shouldn't say this, but I sometimes feel like a bit of a reject and seek validations in other people's approval of me.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a very good one. And it's really interesting to hear.
Yeah.
Especially from someone who does so much, such an amazing job at uplifting other women.
Yeah, I have a very big mean girl, and a lot of people think I became a confidence coach because I'm so confident, and it's actually the exact opposite. It was like, I have such a mean mind that I was looking for solutions, and that led me into the world of personal growth. And I saw the freedom that it gave me when I learned to be kind to myself. And so I decided, wow, I want to help other women do this too, because there's so much love, joy, and freedom once you start investing in yourself and learning to love who you are.
Where did you think that mean girl came from? Have you gone into that and tried to think about what it is that's caused it?
Comparison. I remember being younger, and my sister and I are literally only like 11 months apart. And growing up, she's like 6 foot and I'm like 5'5". And growing up, we were like the same height, same size. And then all of a sudden she was getting taller and staying slim. And my weight was like yo-yoing. And I'm 5'5". So I wasn't as tall as she was. And it was just kind of like when I looked at the girls on TV and the girls in the music videos, and it was like they looked like her and she could eat whatever she wanted and not gain any weight. And I was the one going from diet to diet to diet to working out to this and that. And that just like that comparison was just so rooted in me that every time I saw her, I would feel some sort of resentment instead of love. And I'm like, this is my sister, you know, how is this happening? And I think the thing about comparison is that it seeps into all areas of your life. So first it was with the body, and then it was like, oh, my siblings are so creative. I'm not creative at all. I'm not good enough. There's nothing special about me. And then you just start telling yourself that story over and over again. And the more you do it, the stronger it gets.
And what was the turning point then? What was it that you were like, right, no, this, I've got to do something about this?
Yeah. So I actually thought my mind was my mind and I was stuck with this mean girl forever. And I thought I was the only one experiencing this. So I never spoke to anyone about it. And I grew up in such a loving and caring family. So on the outside, I appeared really confident to people, but on the inside, my mind was a mess. And it wasn't until when I turned 21, my mom gave me this book called 15 Laws of Growth by John Maxwell. And she was just getting into like the personal growth arena. And so she read the book and she loved it and she gave it to me to read. And in that book, I learned that one, confidence is a practice, and that two, growth is intentional. Growth is not something that comes with age. Because when I was 21, I was thinking, when I'm 25, I will have made it. I'll be making money. I'll be confident. Life will be good. And then you become an adult and you realize, wow, this is a scam. Like, I don't think it's one big scam. And so it was in that moment that I realized, hang on a second. I had this vision because my mom is like super boss babe. So is my grandma. So I come from a family of very strong, empowering women. And so I knew naturally that I wanted to be a strong, you know, empowering woman, inspiring other people, things like that. But I wasn't doing anything to get there. I just thought one day I would wake up and I would be the woman of my dreams. But actually, no. So that was a massive shift for me. And then I started reading more books about personal growth and learning that I realized my mind is powerful, but not only is my mind powerful, I have the power to program my mind for success and to program my mind to be a mind that loves me instead of a mind that's mean to me. And that was so new to me because I thought I was stuck with the mean girl forever. So I went on a journey to reprogram my mind for success and for self-love. And haven't looked back ever since.
And just asking for a friend, how long did that journey take?
It's a never-ending journey, right? I started when I was 21. I'm 28 now. So the woman, the confidence coach you see today, the woman you see today, like, she has been built over 7 years strategically. I looked at, what am I good at doing? What am I not good at doing? How can I fill the gaps? And every single day I was intentional about investing in myself. And, you know, people just... A lot of the time they want the easy way out. You just want to wake up one day and you're the person of your dreams. And it's not like that. So a lot of the times when, you know, people are spending their time doing other things, I was watching Oprah videos. I was reading books. I was learning how my mind works and how to make my mind work for me, because that is the foundation to every single thing that you do.
Amazing. I mentioned before we started recording that I'm going on a bit of a personal journey myself. I've got to a position of like my career's been incredible and I just kind of wanted to know myself a little bit better. I think I've always just gone and rolled with the punches, and there's parts of me that I feel like I need to be stronger and more confident and have a bit more higher self-esteem, because there's all this stuff that's like, I've done really well and people see it. I don't fully believe it. I just kind of bat it off. So I'm trying to do that with the therapist at the moment. Are there any sort of books or resources that you would really, apart from Confidence Killing It, because we'll talk about that. But is there anything that you would recommend for the listeners to have a look at as to start out? What's the best thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I also recommend Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani. And he also talks about how to reprogram your mind for success, because when we're younger, there's so many beliefs that we get just given, like, as a woman, you can't do this, this, and this. You can only be like this, this, and this. And not all of those beliefs are 100% true. Not all of those beliefs serve you, right? And so learning to let go of the narratives that don't serve you and to create your own narratives is really important. And I think that's the first step we need to take to really free ourselves from the limiting expectations and the negativity that is often in the society that we live in. I definitely recommend that book as a great way to shift your mindset.
Amazing. That's going to go on my Amazon Audible order.
Awesome.
So I'm going to move on now just to talk a little bit about your journey and your business, because, and also the role that social media has played, because we talked about comparison there.
Mm-hmm.
And social media has had so many negative news stories, articles, everyone's got opinions about the role that social media plays. And a lot of it is related to comparison culture. What I really want to do is kind of counterbalance. And yes, we know that there are negatives with social, but I also want to use this as a platform to highlight the amazing things that we can get out of social media, and the benefits it can be to help grow businesses and help people like yourself when you started yours. So let's start with the negative bit. What role do you think that social has got to play in those low confidence issues, comparison culture that so many people are facing today? And do you see it quite often in the work that you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if you look at the stats of teenage girls and their mental health has declined in alarming rates. And if you look at the graph between like teenage girls' mental health and the rise of social media, there is a correlation, direct correlation with that. So, and I think a lot of it is because of the lack of authenticity on social media. And there's a Dove campaign that talks about, like, you never know what's going on behind the scenes, because you see the picture, but you don't know it's been edited. You don't know it's been airbrushed. You don't know there was hair and makeup. There was lighting, right? And then you're behind the scenes and you take your own selfie and you're like, oh gosh, I look terrible. Look at that person. How do they look so good? And then you start thinking, oh, maybe I'm not as pretty as I thought. Maybe I'm not as good enough as I thought I was. So I just wish it was just more truthful. I really wish people would show more of the behind the scenes. Like, for example, I have a struggles highlight on my Instagram page, where if you come on my page and you want to know what I'm insecure about, you can check my struggles highlight. And it's like usually me at 2 a.m. in bed talking about something that I'm really insecure about and feeling sad about. Because I never want anyone to come on my page and go, oh, she's so perfect. She's so confident all the time. I could never have that, you know? So I think the downside is the people pushing the negative narratives of you need this and then you'll be good enough. You need this juice or this lipstick or, you know, those people pushing hate and those toxic messages are louder than the people who are pushing messages of love and self-belief. And also just naturally, the way our brain works, we remember the shocking information more. We remember the negativity. It sticks to us more than the positivity. So I think, yeah, that whole comparison culture, and then also kind of having a scarcity mindset. Because if you base your success on numbers, there will always be somebody with higher numbers than you. That's one thing. And then a lot of the times we see someone else winning as thinking we are now losers, because in the world we live in, there's only room for one person at the top. There can only be one winner. And so when you see people on social media celebrating their wins all the time, you're like, oh gosh, everyone's winning. That means there's no space for me anymore. That means I can't win. But we need to move to have an abundance mindset, which is there is enough room for everyone to thrive. There is enough room for all of us to be successful at what we're doing. And yeah, I think that might help things a little bit.
Definitely. And I think that's a narrative as females we've been drilled into us, because you don't see a lot of females in positions like managing director. I think I really struggled with it. And now a lot of what I do is all centered around you can't be what you can't see, because I want to show that I'm doing it, the realities of it. But because there's so few of us, there is that feeling that I can't do it because she's already there. And I think that's been built around us because there's very few visualizations of.
Exactly.
It's hard. It's really hard.
I always say, imagine if Rihanna never started Fenty Beauty, right? That company maybe is about 3 years old, maybe four, max five, definitely max. And there've been makeup brands like L'Oreal and MAC and Estee Lauder that have been around for years. And the makeup industry is already pretty saturated. Like you go into Superdrug and there's 10 different mascara brands and it's like, what? You know? So imagine if she said, oh, there's already too many players in that field. I can't go into it. Fenty Beauty is now a $1 million organization. And she carved her own space with her own unique voice and her own unique branding. And so it just goes to show that you are your own secret sauce. And as long as you believe in your greatness and you show up and you own that, there is enough room for all of us to be great because we each bring our own unique expression to the table.
Amazing. Goes back to the authenticity piece, doesn't it? She's done that from an authentic place, which is why it's worked so well. Incredible. Let's flip then social media on the negative. Let's turn to the positive. So do you think that social media can be flipped on its head, offering women and girls a space for empowerment?
Absolutely. There's so many amazing communities online. Like Confident and Killing It wouldn't be possible if, you know, we didn't have social media. Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to build the community that I have now. And I literally get messages and messages and messages from people telling me that, you know, Confident and Killing It has changed their life in such a powerful way. And they wouldn't have found me if it wasn't for Instagram and social media. So that's what I'm saying. It has to be a tool that we use for good. Mm-hmm. And people doing good in the world need to get loud because oftentimes people doing amazing things were humble and we don't want to brag and we just want to let the work do the talking. But actually, it's like, you need to do the talking as well for your work, right? You need to put yourself out there. And that's why I'm not really afraid to film videos and to put my face as the brand, because I think it's important that if you believe in something, own it. Use your voice in a powerful way and amplify that message. Nobody wins when women are girls and girls are insecure. No one wins. But we all win when people who have the tools and techniques to help other people stand up and use their voice to share that knowledge. So I always said, I want my confidence to be an oasis of hope for other people. That when they see me, they go, wow, if Tiwa can do it, I can do it too. And that's, I use social media to give people that visibility that if you can see me winning, that means you can also win. And I wanna help you win. I wanna bring you alongside me. So I think it's really just about being authentic, you know, showing those important, like sharing those messages, using your voice in an amazing way, and also sharing your platform to uplift others too. So on the Confident and Killing It page, we have a series called Own Your Story, where I ask women to share stories of resilience, and we will post their picture and their story on our feed to show them that your story matters and we want to amplify your voice. So I think, yeah, there are so many ways that social media can be used for good, but you have to be intentional about it and you have to be strategic about it as well. Another quote that I love, I think it was, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, I think it maybe Sir Edmund Burke. It was like, people who want to do good in the world need to be just as strategic as the people planning for war and hate and destruction, because when they're going to war, they know what they're doing. They know what they're going after. But people who want to do good in the world, we just hope it happens. And you can't just hope good things happen. You have to strategize and be intentional about good things happening.
And not apologetic for it either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also love the way you talk about self-love revolution. Do you want to talk a little bit about that as well? Because I think social's got a really big part to play in that, because the word revolution is just incredible. So and it fits really nicely into the community that you can build on social and how you can really create a movement. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I called it the self-love revolution because I noticed there was a generational cycle of low self-esteem in women and girls, and that's not normal, but society has normalized that. It's almost like insecurity is a rite of passage as a woman, but then it never leaves you, right? Because you wake up in your 40s and you don't like your body when you're a teenager. Then when you're in your 20s, 30s, it's like this weird transition. And then maybe when you start having kids, it's like you lose everything. And then you try and get back to who you used to be, but you can never be that person again. And then it's just like, you just go through your whole life in different stages, hating who you are or hating your body, because it's not exactly what you want, which is that perfect image. And so I realized that that is bondage. To spend every single walking moment of a body that you are going to have for the rest of your life. Like, it's literally you and your body till the end. No one else. You, your body, your mind, and your soul. So to hate who you are and the body that you have is so destructive to your mental well-being, and it affects your whole life. And so I really wanted to make self-love the norm and self-belief the norm rather than the exception. Because I remember when I was a teenager and I didn't love myself. And then when I was 23 and I was mentoring 16-year-old girls, I was hearing the same stories over and over and over again. And I said, this is not okay. Every single human being deserves to love and believe in themselves. Every single human being. It is a right. The same way we have a right to live, we have a right to love ourselves. And it's so sad that it's the media in the world that is pushing people to hate themselves, because we live in a capitalist society. So people are benefiting off our insecurities. People make money. When I don't like myself and I don't like my body, people make money off that, right? And so there's marketing and content and things that really make us not love ourselves. And so I wanted to revolutionize that by building a media company that makes people feel good about themselves instead of making people feel insecure. So yeah, that's the revolution.
Amazing, amazing. So what are the tips? Because we talked a little bit about authenticity. We've talked about being open and honest and sharing the realities. Have you got any other tips for people looking to build strong, positive communities online from your experience that you would like to share?
I think, you know, we're all kind of, oh, yes. Co-create with your audience is a key one. A lot of people are like, oh, what if I build a brand and no one buys? Or like, what if I start a community and nobody joins? Build with the people you have in mind. Build the solution with the people you want to serve. So at the beginning of Confident and Killing It, I did a brainstorming session. I wrote on my Instagram, I just need 5 women to come in, I'll buy you lunch, and I just want to ask you some questions, and I want to create something new with you. And so if you're afraid about people buying your product or not buying your product, right, make sure you speak to them, speak to your audience, ask them questions, do your research, bring them in, give them buy-in, so that when you do eventually launch your community or your product or service or whatever, you already have people interested and invested in what you're doing. So don't feel like you need to have all the answers. Give people autonomy, give them buy-in into what you're doing, and get them involved.
Nice, because then they feel really connected to it as well, and then they'll continue as you grow because they'll feel part of the journey, which is really important, especially in building an online community. I wanted to ask you then, based on the really positive community that you have built and continue to build, has that impacted you personally in that it's changing that mean girl mindset? Does it ever stop and make you think, no, actually, because of the things you see and the things people are sharing in the community, has it helped you?
Absolutely. So I like to say, like, imposter syndrome is like being in a court case where the imposter syndrome wants to throw you in jail, and the imposter syndrome has all the receipts about the time you messed up and the time you applied for a job when you weren't fully qualified. And, you know, this time and that time when you failed, when you embarrassed yourself. And then the imposter syndrome has all the receipts and facts and wants to throw you in jail. And then your positive side is the side that needs to defend you. And the positive side just comes into the court like, hey guys, like, Tira is such a nice person. Just let her go. Like, peace and love and positive vibes. Yay. And it's like, who are the judge and jury going to believe? The person who has hardcore evidence that you're an imposter, or the person that just comes in on high, nice, positive vibes, right? So I think it's so important to track your wins and track your accomplishments and have evidence of all the positive things that you're doing. So I have a monthly wins tracker, and this is a free tool on my website on confidentandkillingit.com. Anyone can go and download it. And every single month I have a massive calendar where I can see the whole year in a view. And every single month I go in and I write my small wins and my big wins. And when I get amazing feedback from my community, I write that in. I take a screenshot every time somebody sends me a DM. There was a lady who, from listening to the podcast, she got a TED Talk. I've not even gotten a TED Talk yet, but I was like, yes, I'm so proud of you. This is amazing, right? There was another lady from listening to the podcast. She was then on a panel with one of the directors of Facebook on like talking about sustainability and marketing, right? So many people, oh, I quit this job. I got a new job because I listened to your podcast. So I take all of that and I store it in a folder. So whenever the self-doubt creeps in, whenever the mean girl comes and goes, oh, but are you really sure you're impacting people's lives? Like, are you really sure you're a good speaker? I can go, hang on a second. I've got some evidence here. And I can go and remind myself of all the great things that I've done. And so I do a lot of work in positive psychology. And it's scientifically proven that if you look back at your life with a sense of accomplishment, that you will feel more confident and optimistic about the future. So every single message I get, I cherish and I reflect on it because it's so important to remind yourself of all the great things that you're doing.
Amazing. Gratitude is so important, isn't it? I've been doing quite a lot of reading around gratitude and the impact that it has, and that being the actual crux to happiness, not all the things that you're striving for, but actually being grateful for what you've achieved and what you've got now. Let's talk about confident and killing it, because it's just it's incredible what you've built. Do you want to explain a little bit about what it is and then also what people can find there?
Yeah, absolutely. So confident and killing it is all about waking people up to their worth so they can be confident, unstoppable, and really just take action in life. That is my main thing, because confidence comes from when you take action. And a lot of people sit on their dreams. They push everything to the back burner and they live life on autopilot. So confident and killing it is all about waking people up to understand there is greatness inside of you. You're just not awake to it yet. So it's upskilling people with the tools and techniques that they need to challenge their negativity, to know more about their strengths, to learn how to communicate confidently, and to really build a personal brand and celebrate themselves. So that's what the mission and the organization is all about. And then in terms of our pillars, the four pillars, so content, community, coaching, and courses. The content is, you know, my podcast, all like the different Instagram, social media things that I put out, and then community, bringing women together, coaching. I'm a coach, so I work one-to-one with women, entrepreneurs, women all over the world who want to feel more confident, whether you're in the workplace or you're launching your own business. And then I've just launched my brand new course called The Confidence Game Plan. And it is your 5-step action plan to becoming confident and thriving in all areas of your life. So that's basically a little bit about the structure of the business and kind of like the main areas I work.
Amazing. And what inspires you to do these things? Has the pandemic had a big impact on people's confidence? And have you seen that more people are coming to you for certain things post-pandemic, or we're still in?
Yeah, so my business actually really exploded in the pandemic. I quit my full-time job in December of 2019 to build Confident and Killing It full-time. So January came and I was super excited. I was like, yes, 2020 is going to be amazing for me. And then March 2020 came and everything got cancelled. I had like a few gigs in the pipeline. I was all going to be suddenly making more money to be able to live and be sustainable. And then everything gets canceled. And I'm kind of just like, it's sink or swim, right? It's like, are you going to give up now or are you going to keep going? And I had this image in my head of me going on a roller coaster. And it was like January, February was good. And then March is like the peak. And then everything just goes crashing down. And that image was playing, that was my mean girl, playing over and over and over again. And I had to stop and ask myself, I said, Tiwa, is this the story you want for your life? That the pandemic happened, you lost everything, and you gave up. And I said, no, that's not the story I want for my life. So I was like, what is the story I want? I was like, I want to see the most growth I've ever seen before. I want to build a global community of women from all over the world. I want Confident and Killing It to be a household name. I want to be able to help women start taking action and see them winning in life. And I redrew the graph where it did crash in March, but by May, June, and July, it started to come back up again. And I put on the drawing, whatever goes down must come back up. I am unstoppable. And so every day in the pandemic where my inbox was dry, like no one wanted to do anything to do with workshops or personal development because everyone was freaking out. Everyone was just like, this is the end of the world as we know it. And so I had to look at, okay, whatever goes down must come back up. I am unstoppable. What do I have in my hands? What do I have available to me? And so when people didn't give me opportunities, I created my own opportunities. I started running my own webinar series called Killing It as an Entrepreneur to support female entrepreneurs during the pandemic. I started my podcast to show my expertise as a coach so that if people wanted to book me, they could listen to the podcast first and then come for coaching. And that gets like 16,000 downloads in the space of like 3 months. My webinar series just kind of totally exploded. I had over 1,500 women join over like the 5 sessions, and they started recommending me to other people. And so in March 2020, where 0 bookings, everything gone, by December of 2020, I had worked with Facebook, Google, Deloitte, Morgan Stanley, TikTok. The podcast is now on like 30,000 downloads. My community has grown. I'm having women in Australia wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning to attend a session with me. And it was just like everything just exploded, because I think people really took it as a time to just stop and say, who am I? What am I doing with my life? And am I happy? And a big part of that was confidence to take a leap, to try something new, confidence to ride the wave and weather the storm. So yeah, things really took off. Last year was one of the most challenging moments in my life, but at the same time, one of the most like fulfilling and successful moments that I've had. And things have just been growing ever since.
Amazing. I think it's people's mindset have changed as well. And I think we've all kind of thought, is this what we want to do? And is this how we want to do it? And is this how I want to treat myself? And I think you already being there and talking about confidence and talking about things that, like how to increase your self-esteem, probably was right place, right time for that moment. And I think we're still going through that journey where we're all reconsidering what it is that, how we want to live and who we want to be and how we want to be known for. So just to finish then, what would you say are like the top tips for anyone listening that's like feeling a little bit like they're in that low self-esteem, low confidence? What would you like to leave the listeners with, apart from obviously going to look at the website, all the amazing content and the courses that you do?
Yes. So first thing I would say is you matter simply because you exist. Your worth doesn't depend on how much money you have, where you were born, what job you have, the color of your skin. The fact that you are alive means that you matter. Your worth doesn't depend on your productivity levels either. So who you are and what has happened to you, what people have said to you, you know, maybe your down days, your bad moods, that is not who you are. Your identity, the greatness inside of you, is separate to that. So you're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. Your starting place is good enough. The fact that you are here and you're alive means that you're good enough. And so don't look at your life as moving from not worthy to figuring out your worth. Instead, wake up to the worth that is already inside of you and know that you're moving from good to better. So that is like the foundational truth that I want everyone to remember. And also that you might not be responsible for your insecurities. Okay. You might not have grown up in a positive household. Maybe someone said something to you when you were younger and you carried the weight of that. You might not be responsible for your insecurities, but you are responsible for your growth. You are responsible for loving yourself at the end of the day. You are responsible for creating a narrative that serves you, the truth of who you are. You have the power of choice to do that. And so you have to own who you are. You have to own your life and take responsibility so that you can become the person you actually want to become. And you owe it to yourself to do that. So in terms of really practical things you can do, know your strengths, right? Write down what you think you're good at doing. Ask yourself those questions and look for examples of when you've demonstrated your strengths so that when the negativity comes, you have something to challenge it with. And when the negative thoughts come, ask yourself, is this 100% facts or am I making an assumption? Is this sabotaging me or is this empowering me? If a thought sabotages you, throw it in the bin. If a thought empowers you, that's what you want to run with. That's what you want to focus on. Be kind to yourself. There's only one of you in the world, right? And you don't have to be perfect. So you can actually be unapologetic in shining your light, because somebody needs to see you winning. And when they see you winning, they go, wow, if she can do it, I can do it too.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. We could have talked for a lot longer, I'm sure, but I know you're going to a conference now, so I will let you go. But thank you so much, Tiwa. That was absolutely incredible.
Thank you for having me.
Wow. I don't even know where to begin. There's so much in there, and I really could have talked to her for ages. There were so many things that I wanted to pick up on and talk about, but I've absolutely loved speaking to Tiwa today. And I'm so grateful that she took the time to come on and share her wisdom and her words of wisdom around confidence, self-esteem, her own journey. So please check her out. If any of that resonated with you, go and check out her website, Confident and Killing It. And I'll be back with another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But next week.